Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, welcome to the Fantasy Football Report. I'm here with Hassan Rahim. Feels like it's been a while, man, since probably before Thanksgiving that I think we were on a show together. So, yeah, it's good to be back and see your face.
Yeah, same. Likewise, good to have you back, and it's good to have you in the studio. And for anyone who's watching us live, not messing up the intro or the outro. Hey,
there you go. That's an improvement. We haven't done the outro yet, but still a chance. I mean, I guess let's just jump right in, talk about Chris Godwin catching 15 of 17 targets for 143 yards. You know, this is Antonio Brown, of course, missed this game, but he's been out for a while, so it's not necessarily like we should have expected anything different from Tampa Bay coming into this. But I mean, you know, 17 targets for Godwin in a game that Gronk was active for, in a game where Mike Evans was pretty productive. What do we make of this performance?
Yeah, so this is actually good, if only because last week against the Colts in a more competitive game, Godwin was got like almost no work, like 5 targets. And then Evans got like 6 targets last week and they did nothing with it. Like Godwin's been 4 for 24. Evans went 3 for 16 on 6 targets last week. So it's good to see both of them. Yeah, we knew the regression monster was going to hit, or they're going to mean revert, if you want to use another, if you guys are sick of hearing the word regression. And so we saw them both put up pretty hefty totals here today. Last week, when Dave and I were discussing this, we both agreed that Leonard Fournette being as efficient as he was last week, just taking all the work in the receiving game and the rushing game and just being productive on the ground, really led to Brady not having to attempt a lot of passes. But this time around, they came out, threw the football quite a bit. You know, 51 pass attempts, that's pretty serious, right? Gronk got 8 targets. Let this bell cow all-around workhorse role for Leonard Fournette is a little tilting to see. But you know what? The only reason it's tilting is because I don't think he's on any of our redraft teams. I probably have him in a bunch of best balls somewhere just because his price was ridiculously cheap. And yeah, I know a lot of people don't like talking about their best ball teams or whatever, but like, you know, price adjusted, he was a pretty good pick there. So
yeah, you have to focus on the good things about the season, right? So best ball is all we have.
Best ball is all we have. Yeah. Just to give the listeners an update, we did 2 Pentagon drafts, and the Pentagon is Blair, myself, Pete Overzet, Pat Corain, and Ben Gretsch, aka Ship Chasing. Why do we call ourselves the Pentagon? Because it sounds mean and menacing. And to that end, we're actually in the league championship right now for our Pentagon KFFSC team. We're in a dogfight with Andrew Shelley. He is a ship chasing listener, and we are currently on the we're in the playoffs for our FBG, all 5 of us, and we are hoping, depending on how tomorrow night goes, we might be playing in the league finals. And who knows, guys, maybe the Pentagon goes main next year. So that's the hope. But yeah, best ball may be all we have for now. But it's also because it's the least time intensive format. It's genuinely fun. And we're your one stop shop for printing money there. Anyway, yeah. but you know, all those all that spiel aside, you know, it didn't come as a surprise that these guys did mean revert. You know, they just saw the targets. Fournette wasn't as good this week, and they needed their help to win against the Falcons. As funny as that might sound, Gronkowski, you know, 4 for 58, two touchdowns on 8 targets was pretty impressive. No meat left over on the bone. Rashad Perriman saw 3 targets. He was just added to the active roster. Just a little bit about Antonio Brown. We don't know what his status with the team will be because he did fake a COVID vaccination. And that is a federal offense, which if you're following along at home, is just another twist in the long, drawn-out Antonio Brown saga. We don't know if he's going to be part of the team when he returns. The team hasn't really said. You know, so this is kind of what we should have expected. Just a little bit of a thinning out, I guess, of the receivers now with AB a little bit out of town, probably even out of favor with the team. Blair, I did want to get your thoughts here on Cordarrelle Patterson and Mike Davis. All right, so let me just preface this by saying Cordarrelle Patterson saw 5 targets, turned those into 3 for 18. Mike Davis saw 4 targets, caught all 4 for 37 yards. Why is Mike Davis still playing?
Oh, yeah, good question. We don't have the expected points and FPOE numbers yet, but for this week, but I'm pretty sure coming into this week, Mike Davis hadn't had a game with positive FPOE yet the entire season. Like, he's been one of the worst running backs in the league for, you know, more than 2 years. Well, more than a year, probably 2 years, going back to even Carolina. But, I mean, I guess this is good to see if you own Mike Davis, if you were one of those crazy folks who drafted him early, but you probably dropped him by now.
But there's also no way you could start him. So I'll give you. I have Mike Davis on a couple of like dynasty rosters, right? Just because he happens to be there. I didn't start him today.
Yeah, of course not.
I saw Boston Scott was going to be active, and I just threw caution to the wind. I'm like, I'm not doing this, right? And so I just threw caution to the wind and threw Boston Scott out there. I took a 0 because I didn't have it in me to take another Mike Davis 0. And this is where I need a running back. Okay. And because it's dynasty, I was lucky to have guys like Eckler and, you know, just basically, you know, whoever Rotoviz has liked over the years. I'm just lucky there happened to be on my roster because I got him in free agency. Right. Madison, all these guys, right? But like, I needed a running back, and I'm not clicking Mike Davis. Hey, Mike Davis worked out last year for me. He's not working out this year, and no one wanted to trade for him. That's how you get left holding the bag, right? I am a bag holder.
And even after this performance, which was, you know, decent for Mike Davis, you still can't start him because next week he'll be back doing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue, right? Like, there's like a true lack of trust here, right? Like, there's just no way. Like, if you're starting Mike Davis, I mean, congratulations against the Buccaneers's, you know, league best run defense. like, go get some help, okay? Like, if you actually click start, like, I don't know. I want to know how bad the rest of your running back room is, or just how, you know, you used to be kicked in the pants you are, because there was just no way I was starting him. I mean, we have a Rotoviz friends and family salary cap league, and I did not start Mike Davis. I started Miles Gaskin and Najee Harris, and I played T.Y. Hilton instead of Mike Davis. I started Dusty T.Y. Hilton outside of a dome in a game where the Colts are heavy favorites instead of playing Mike Davis.
Now, the question is, after seeing Mike Davis get this kind of workload and be a little bit better than Patterson, are you at all worried about starting Patterson going forward?
The hell I am.
Yeah.
He's just, I mean, he's, a, I mean, but like, you know, conversely, against the league best run defense, Cordarrelle Patterson was, you know, was a, saw most of the target, like pretty much a workhorse, 13 for 78. Like he was ripping off massive chunk gains. Like he is a, you know, just a, he's like their most explosive player, right? Kyle Pitts is doing, you know, fine, I guess. He's, you know, I mean, I guess he's Russell Gage has sort of emerged, right? Like as teams dedicate a lot of defensive personnel to stopping Kyle Pitts. I don't know, man. I mean, I understand all of the arguments. This is going to hurt me to break kayfabe here, but like, I understand all of the arguments that are pro Pitts. I'm bullish on his future and I'm bullish on his outlook or whatever. Right. But, how much of this has the feeling of Ebron on the Lions?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. A little bit. I think the difference there is that Pitts has at least given us some evidence this season that he's like a really explosive player. Whereas with Ebron, you know, he was playing on a bad team, but he also never really looked that good as a rookie.
I don't know, man. You know, if they wanted someone to catch the ball and look explosive, there's like other guys like Jamar Chase or Jalen Waddle, right? Jalen Waddle, who got 9 of 11 targets for 90 yards today, and he's just been doing this, man. Like I'll give you guys like a little bit of a hint here, or a little bit of a secret. So ever since the receiver room kind of cleared out, I've been betting Jalen Waddle overs like a fish. Receptions and receiving yards overs, and it just hits all the time, man. Like I think it was like 5.5 this week and it hit, and like I think the yards were 64.5 and that hit. It's just like he's been a printing press. He's been really good, and I think because Tua's early struggles really kind of dragged him down, but they seem to have figured it out in offense. He's really emerged, man. Like he looks like the real deal. You know, so I wanted to get your thoughts there, because from a like a pure receiver perspective, like you know, where like if that's who they wanted, like Atlanta wanted, like wouldn't you have rather had a Jamar Chase or a Jalen Waddle, or you know, ahead of Pitts? It's like minor quibbles because they all went so early, right? So I'm talking about guys at the top of the food chain anyway. But I want to get your thoughts there.
Yeah, no, that's tricky. I mean, I think that, you know, in a vacuum, I guess if you're looking at two players who are about equally talented and one plays tight end and one plays receiver, you prefer the tight end. But you know, at the same time, I don't think the Falcons expected to be without Calvin Ridley for half the season. So there's that.
Yeah. Get well soon, yeah. Calvin.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. Yeah. It's a tough call. I think, you know, tight end is a position that can be a little bit more valuable and from kind of a real football perspective, maybe.
That's true. Yeah. These guys don't really grow on trees, huh?
Yeah.
But I mean, conversely, Pat Freiermuth has been pretty good, and we'll get to him in a little bit. That's what we call in the industry a tease, because there's a few other guys I really wanted to get your thoughts on. Specifically one, Murray Kyler, who, you know, came back. He's been dealing with an ankle injury. Look, I'll be honest, looked pretty hobbled today. He completed 11 of 15 passes for 123 yards and 2 scores, but he also had 10 rushes for 59 yards and 2 scores. He broke the slate today, man. He broke the slate today.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts here. Like, you know, do you think Murray is going to be continuously limited going forward? Do you think he didn't need to do a lot against the Bears here today? Like, what are your thoughts there?
I don't think he's going to be limited to this extent. I mean, like you said, he didn't really need to do a lot. They were winning, you know, they were up. I want to say they were ahead like 21-10 going into the half or something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, James Conner also had a pretty good game. And when, you know, Murray's attempting 15 passes, I don't think that's because they're trying to keep him from overexerting himself or something. That's because they're trying to, well, you know, trying to slow the game down, which isn't isn't necessarily what we want the Cardinals to do when you have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and stuff, but
Hopkins seemed to be gimpy today, man. He's still dealing with that hamstring. It felt like he was just out there getting a little bit of run. But, you know, they didn't need to do a lot. I mean, they didn't need to do a lot to beat the Bears today. The Bears went about beating themselves, frankly. Andy Dalton threw four picks. So he threw four when the game was close. Right. David Montgomery did. I mean, this is going to be really tilting his hell to hear, but he did damn well. Right. He had 21 carries for 90 yards and a score. He also caught 8 of his 9 targets for 51 yards.
Yeah, this was something that we've kind of been waiting for him to do since he came into the league. Right. Because that was, I think, probably the part of his college profile that was the most intriguing. Like, otherwise he didn't actually look like that good of a prospect, but he was a great receiver in college.
I don't know, man. Have you seen that that infographic that was like feet of Saquon Barkley and vision of Le'Veon Bell and toughness of Ezekiel Elliott? Like, all I'm saying is that infographic might have been right, and we're just seeing it now. It takes a while to get as good as all those guys at their peak, and that's what we're getting here.
And now we're getting it. Yeah, okay. Maybe you're right.
Like
I don't know if you would. Did feet of Saquon Barkley might not be a thing you want, though.
But his quads, man. Like, I think his quads put AJ Dillon's quads to shame.
Oh, well.
AJ Dillon's quads are just the new quads in the block, though. Saquon's quads are the OG.
There you go.
It's like, I guess it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good example here. I'm really blanking on what a good thought would have been there just for that, because I'm getting lost in all this quad talk when realistically the only quad I'm interested in talking about is the fourth round ADP on T. Higgins, who went off today. He caught 9 of 14 targets for 138 yards and a score in the Bengals' loss to the Chargers here. And Boyd also did really well. Jamar Chase got into it a little bit after the team fell behind. But, man, like, Higgins, this is kind of the thesis, right? This is the thesis behind Higgins and why we were taking him where we were.
Yeah. Yeah, what's interesting is that Higgins has been kind of leading the team in opportunity the entire season, and it's only been the last 2 weeks that he's actually been able to turn that into fantasy points. So, you know, from a certain perspective, we almost should have seen this coming. I mean, a lot of us did see it coming since we drafted him.
Yeah, and you just have to keep rolling him out there, right? This is why we're doing what we do. We just see them getting volume. His volume's not like falling off. His expected points are the same. It's kind of stable. Now he's just converting. He's catching the football. He's happy to be free. Like, it's just the way it goes, right? Like, volume is sticky. There's a reason why he was going. You know, I mean, like, people get it wrong with second year breakouts a lot, right? But you know, the ones who go early in ADP, most of the time they happen to be going for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to be, more often than not, you're going to be, want to be on those guys. Right. So, that's what people were kind of lamenting, talking about ADP becoming, you know, sharper. You know, especially with someone like Justin Jefferson, who also started going early. Right. And I mean, Jefferson had like a field day today, right? Like, he got 11 of his 14 targets for 182 yards and a score. Could have been much, much bigger. Adam Thielen left with what is supposed to be a high ankle sprain in the first quarter. Blair, like, are you going to be penciling in Justin Jefferson for 20 targets a game going forward? And if not, why not?
Well, I mean, the other thing about this game is that Tyler Conklin had 9 targets, right? So
That's the guy who you're going to be penciling in. Tyler Conklin and KJ Osborne.
it's a bummer that all of Thielen's targets didn't just go straight to Jefferson, that they have to get them to a few of these guys a little bit lower down the,
well,
down the totem pole. But
you see, had they actually gone to Jefferson, the Vikings might have actually won instead of losing to the Lions.
Yeah.
Because the Lions are now 1-10-1.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Talk about that more.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, had they just given him all the work.
A 20-target game for Jefferson, and the Vikings probably win this one. Yeah.
That's sounds all right. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say, all right? He had 182 yards. Maybe he could have had, you know,
if he 218.
Maybe he would have had 218.
That sounds like a winning yardage number for the
Vikings.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all I'm saying, right? Like you gave Kini Nwangu, real person, 3 targets. You gave Didi Westbrook 2 targets. Just saying.
Oh man.
Like that's 5 targets right there. You get to the 19 targets. Then instead of giving CJ Ham the 1 target, you give it to Jefferson. He puts up 218, probably another score. You know, you win it. I don't know.
What are you doing?
But yeah, so I mean, Thielen does seem to be out for the if this is truly, you know, like a high ankle, like I think that's a bad sign for him. Like even if he rushes back here, and it's a shame because the Vikes are in the playoff race. I mean, this is sort of why he was going where he was going, and people were like, well, I have no interest in Jefferson that high. And it's like, well, all right, good luck. Enjoy your whoever you're taking, right? So it is going to be interesting, because I do think now with Cook, horrific shoulder injury. I think he's already been ruled out for this week. It really is wheels up for just like Justin Jefferson league winner, like the kind of guy who you don't want to be facing or seeing in the finals.
Right. I think that's right. I think I worry a little bit about what happens if the Vikings are facing a team that's a little bit better than the Lions and you have no Thielen and you're trying to keep defenses from just taking Jefferson out of the game. Do you have the weapons that are capable of, you know, of making other teams pay for focusing on Jefferson? Maybe not.
So I see it the other way around, right? It's a little similar to Jonathan Taylor, wherein Justin Jefferson is the bad matchup, right? Godspeed to the defense trying to slow him down, man. Godspeed, because it's just a Jonathan Taylor, right? You see the bad matchups for Jonathan Taylor, and then you see him like just manhandling these human beings, and it's like that should not be legal. Like he's committing assault on my television against these like poor defensive linemen. That's going to be Justin Jefferson against cornerbacks and defensive backs. Like I am probably going to have to call. Oh shoot! It's going to be the Steelers going to Minnesota next week, so I might have to actually preemptively go down to the stadium here in Pittsburgh and warn the defensive backs that their lives are going to be in grave danger this week. Just like beware the Ides of December.
It's like a public service that you have to do.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like how in Julius Caesar he was warned, you know, beware the Ides of March. You know, Steelers secondary, beware the Ides of December, man.
Beware the hands of Jefferson.
Yep, exactly. Because I don't know if you guys have seen Julius Caesar or not, but Caesar dies. He was assassinated. And that's what Justin Jefferson is going to do to all of these defensive backs. Like we're going to be calling, there's going to be murder on our television screens on next Sunday Night Football. and we can't do anything to stop it.
And we shouldn't. We should, you know, for the sake of our fantasy teams, I think we should let this one go.
Yeah, no jury would convict. That's the way I think. Kudos to Detroit, though. Sorry?
No, I was just going to ask. I mean, I know you talked about this, I think, with Solis and Devin. But is like Jefferson now has got to be kind of the undisputed dynasty wide receiver one.
Yeah, that's where it gets hard, right? Because this is sort of tiered up. Like, I mean, if you're drafting your first ever dynasty,
it was 2 weeks ago. Now I think you might have separated. I don't know.
I don't think it is, because you just, I mean, like, if you're whether you're a seasoned player or a newbie, I still think you just got to do kind of what Sean says, which is draft the guys you really want to draft, right? And like, these are the guys you really like. I think they're really fun. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb. Like, yeah, like maybe you can make a case for Jefferson or whatever, but that, you know, like maybe trade back up, get another guy. Why not? What's the worst that could happen, right? Like, yeah. Like, cause like these guys are like, they're going to be super, like, they're superstars now. In the league, and again, and we all know the OBJ and Juju Smith-Schuster, like all of these like guys who started good young and then they also kind of fade away, but there's hope for guys who do pop this early and they maintain their value. Like, it's taken people this long, it took them until this year to recognize that OBJ might not be worth what he is, and it took him one game against the Rams to get like 60-70% of his value back.
Like,
people spent a lot of time justifying his bad play, but then all of a sudden they just saw that, you know, oh, he needs like a good QB and he has one. And it's like, no, man, his performances have been, he's had one or two or three of these like a year, but like, you know, it's not common. And again, like his value is maintained high, and, you know, so it's from a dynasty perspective. Yeah. If you were to put a gun to my head and say, like, rank these guys, give them a number, yeah, for just Jefferson, like, one. Like, I mean, yeah. you can't not. I do think the Lions did well in large part, not only because they got Josh Reynolds, you know, from the Titans, who's been doing really well, but, yeah, I mean, Amon Ross St. Brown really came into his own today. He had 12 targets, 10 catches, 86 yards and a score. He was a really... really favorite target of mine in best ball really late. He was a Rotoviz darling as a late round flyer, similar to Kenny Golladay all those years ago, who was a third rounder in rookie drafts, if you recall. You know, so what is your take here on Amon-Ra St. Brown? And like, is he, you know, like, do the Lions now have the makings of an actual respectable receiver group?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but yeah, I think Amon-Ra was someone who was getting probably not as much buzz as he should have gotten coming into the league, right? Coming into the fantasy season as someone who, you know, didn't have an amazing college resume, but he was one of the top recruits out of high school. He was an early declare from USC. There were a lot of aspects of his profile that looked really good, and we're kind of seeing that come to fruition now. It's only one game, obviously, but he looked really good in this game. I don't know if this is enough to say the Lions have a respectable wide receiver core when you're also running out Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond and stuff. I think
Josh Reynolds is pretty good. You know, he was signed by the Titans in free agency to another contract, and then I think he got pretty upset about the Julio thing and just sort of stopped wanting to play, and they shipped him off, right? Also, I want to issue a mea culpa and a little bit of a important news following up on that Adam Thielen item. So Adam Thielen did suffer a high ankle sprain. He is undergoing further tests tomorrow or today, which is Monday, to determine how much time he's going to miss. The Vikings play the Steelers on Thursday night, so we will be witnessing murder on Thursday, not on Sunday.
Ah, so you got to get to the stadium earlier.
Yeah, I got to get down there like tomorrow. I mean, I got to get there like...
Yeah, they're probably leaving soon.
Yeah, they might... I might have to catch them...
I think some of them listen to the show, so if you just say it now, it might be good.
Yeah. Guys, I know you might have beat the Ravens today, but you're going to be killed on national television on Thursday night. Just accept it. Say goodbye to your loved ones before you leave for Minnesota.
What? Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We've talked about the Steelers and what's going to happen to them next week, but can we talk a little about what they did this week and how the Ravens blew this game?
Yeah, for sure. So this is the game that, you know, we get on TV here. It's the game I could hear. It's pretty cold. So like my door is shut, but my neighbor below was loud enough so I knew what was happening. I mean, Deontay Johnson just sort of turned on the Jets, man. He just really erupted down the stretch. He got 8 of his 11 targets for 105 yards and 2 TDs, right? And it really was the catalyst behind why they won. It's a real bit of a shame because, you know, in that FFPC Pentagon team, we have Chase Claypool and he was kind of sidelined. It is, it says a lot about Ben Roethlisberger and the fact that he's out there throwing ducks when Ray McLeod is getting like, you know, 4 targets because of how shallow his A dot is, because he's a yak guy, or the fact that, you know, Najee gets 5 targets. Almost at the primary read, even where Pat Freiermuth gets his targets, right? Because Chase Claypool is the only one getting these ludicrous deep targets. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, said that I'm going to be like leaving this in my last year, and it's like, well, your last year should have been like 3.5 years ago, bro. like never have I seen it's a little bit like the extended Eli Manning farewell tour, but like in this case, Ben Roethlisberger wasted 3 years and several very, very good Steelers teams from, and he single-handedly prevented them from doing anything, and it's got them in a gap situation so poor that it's quite likely that they're never going to really, I mean, like they might actually not, like this team will be competitive even with a good quarterback, but not Super Bowl competitive because of how the gap has been left so they could continue to play to his ego. So that's just a fun aside. The Ravens, God bless them. I have no idea what the heck they're doing with the game plan. To paraphrase Court Smith, former editor at RotoViz and a friend of the site, he said that the Ravens have been treating Lamar like Dan Marino all season. He threw 37 passes, you know, completed 23 of them, 253 yards. Didn't really rush as much as you would have thought. Devonta Freeman, they're giving him a lot of work, despite him being nowhere near as effective as Lamar as a rusher. They were force feeding the ball to Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, almost nothing to Rashad Bateman. It's weird seeing Devin Duvernay come on and Sammy Watkins get 6 targets. There's no reason for Sammy Watkins to get 6 targets. This game, like most Steelers games, was a thriller, which is weird to say because of how bad a team the Steelers have been, but the games have been exciting. The Bears, you can see Justin Fields ascend, the Island game against the Chargers in this one. really was went was interesting to watch. So the Steelers scored. They had a missed PAT, and they needed a touchdown to basically a touchdown and a successful 2-point conversion to make this a 7-point game, which they did. The Ravens marched on the field, instantly scored, and instead of taking kicking the bat for and playing for OT, they actually tried to end it there and then, and it was a target to Mark Andrews, and Mark Andrews just came up short.
Yeah,
Mark Andrews all alone in the open field would have been 100% a TD. He just drops a sitter of a ball from like Lamar. Yeah. Like 99% of the time, or maybe even higher, 99.9% of the time, he catches that. He just dropped this sitter. Like, it was like a howler of a drop to where it was like, ooh, it's the one that we're going to hear them talk about a lot. And I know a lot of people talk about going for two and going for two a lot, but I think that this is the one time I would have considered going to play for OT, because the Ravens are the more talented offense. And I think if you wanted to go offense to offense, why not, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, they were – it's a tough call when you're playing on the road, right, and your offense hasn't necessarily been super efficient. Like, Mark Andrews hadn't looked – he had dropped a couple other passes earlier in the game, I know. So, it's a tough call, I think, you know.
Yeah, I still think
it's easy to play. It's easy to because it wasn't a successful conversion, it's easy to say, oh, well, that wasn't a very good call. Whereas if they had made it, that wouldn't even come up.
But, no, I know. But I still think they should have. I still think that the only reason they should have gone for OT was because their offense is better. If you they would have been able to easily march back down the field and score, in my opinion, and have iced this thing. But then again, they're out here giving Devonta Freeman 8 targets. And, he did well with them. He caught 5 of them for 45 yards. But, what on earth are you guys doing?
Yeah. No, it does speak to kind of how out of the norm this was for the Ravens in terms of, game plan. What you see, it's unheard of for a Ravens running back to get this many targets with Lamar at quarterback. Because what you see is he's either running or he's throwing downfield. He's not looking to check down. If he's gonna check down to a running back, he's just gonna run it himself. So, very strange to see Freeman get this many targets. Maybe because of the way the Steelers were defending, it was harder to find those downfield looks, which may have played into why they decided to try to end the game there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They looked good to me. The offense, the offense has felt out of sync this year. And it's weird because they almost have too many mouths, if that makes sense. And and they seem to be going away from a lot of the RPO stuff that it's really been working. Lamar really should have been running a little bit more than he was. Maybe they took it a little bit too easy on the Steelers and they messed around and found out, right?
Yeah, it's weird. We don't, pretty much nobody in the analytics community wants to say that running backs really matter. But I wonder how different this team would look if Dobbins were healthy. If they had a guy who could actually be a threat running the ball.
Yeah, so a lot of the analytics community is walking that back, right? So, they're saying
when you watch Jonathan Taylor, it's hard to.
Yeah. Well, they were saying Derrick Henry matters, and it's Jonathan Taylor matters. And it's we're just going to slowly come to the point where people are going to be we're just coming to the point where the analytics community is going to be seen as too legitimately too slow to have understood what the free market or the market has been telling them. There's a reason why these guys get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's very difficult to sit on the outside and armchair quarterback a lot of these, front office decisions when a lot of the guys now are frankly very data driven. And I'll be pretty honest with you, have come from backgrounds that are legitimately very, very impressive. I know the former Steelers guy was the head of predictive analytics for Lionsgate Entertainment. And now he's, I think, the head of analytics for like the Minnesota Twins or something, right? So the former guy who like scouted guys like Bell and Brown and stuff. You know, I mean, so like these are guys who are titans of industry coming to go play, you know, in the NFL. And there's a reason why most NFL teams are pretty quiet about their own data analytics teams, although I think all of them have staffers. Because I know the Steelers who are quantitatively had to have a quant focus a little bit, I guess, in a sense. Mm-hmm. They did grab a guy from the Titans, but I think the Titans, you know, are seen as not having a data staff, but I know for a fact that they do. Yeah. So it's like it's interesting, or the Jags and stuff. There's a reason for them to keep this stuff quiet, you know, because a lot of these transactions and these contracts are important. Like you set the precedent, right? And so like all this stuff is interesting because they have access to a ton of data that we don't, right? Like sure they use PFF and all these other things, but they also have access to proprietary metrics. Then that's not going to be shared. Yeah. It's not going to be shared.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Right.
It's interesting, right? So the only thing we can say from that perspective is there is a reason why some smart teams do pay for them, right? Like, so there's dumb things, right? Like drafting Saquon where he went, or you know, drafting running backs in the first, and then the massive extensions they give or whatever. But like some of it is like whatever. Like it's generally irrelevant in the long run, because you know, really good running backs open that up. And to your point. Yeah, I agree. Dobbins would have been a hell of a guy, right? And there's a reason why a guy like Austin Eckler got paid, right?
Yeah, yeah. Even intuitively, like if you are playing defense against the Ravens and you see Dobbins lined up in the backfield versus Devontae Freeman, you're a little more keyed in on them possibly breaking off a big run, right? So,
oh yeah. I mean, you just have to defend them differently.
You can go pretty far down narrative street here, but there's definitely a difference in how a defense plays when you're facing a running back that you think is good.
Yeah, but this isn't even narrative. This is like real life, right? Because I've had a chance to talk to some NFL players who say the same stuff. Like they talk about it like this, right? They discuss what they do on offense or defense or game plan a lot like this. Which is interesting because the difference is they're given these massive domes of like analytic stuff that they need to read and consume. Mm-hmm. They know the tendencies of each player. They scout it out, and then they just know that their job is to execute when come game day, right? So, yeah, I mean, I agree with all of this. It's genuinely interesting watching that. Or at least thinking about these broader macro items, because it's not. I mean, you know. There are probably a few teams in the league where the game has truly just left them in the dust. And there's there's probably a lot more parity in the league because teams are getting more intelligent. There's a reason behind it.
Right.
There's a reason why we're here, which makes this next team's decision-making all the more baffling. Because the Niners, you know, I mean, George Kittle went ham today, right? 9 of 12 targets for 181 yards and 2 scores. But the Niners, they went out and lost to the Seahawks, who are legitimately one of the teams who I think the game has passed by. So I wanted to get your thoughts here, right? So this is the first, you know, Debo's out possibly for this week as well, and Ayuk didn't really see much run. So is this George Kittle's time, dude? Like, is this it? Is this where we finally get even on this guy who's been a real pain in the butt?
Well, it's about time, right? I mean, I think
it took him 3 years to get back there, right?
I know. I think that he was waiting until my teams were eliminated from the playoffs to decide to be good. I mean, obviously we know Kittle is talented. Like, he's an athletic freak and he's done it before. So it's just a matter, I guess, you know, part of me thinks that a quarterback like Garoppolo can't really support too many guys at once, can't really make too many guys real fantasy forces at the same time. And we kind of saw that today. So I think, you know, having Debo be out makes a big difference for how the other guys are going to perform.
Yeah. We've seen him support guys like Ayuk and Kittle in weeks past, but I think it just comes down to, you know, players having to be really efficient. Just really efficient on whatever target volume they get, which Debo has been. Like, Debo's right. been playing way out of his skin like this entire year from an efficiency perspective. He just catches everything and then rolls up the yak, right? Like, it is interesting. I think Ayuk probably bounces back next week. I mean, like, with Kittle, get, you know, Garoppolo passed the ball 30 times. Kittle had 12 of those targets. Ayuk had 6. This was kind of a bad loss there for the Niners because they were kind of like leading, and then they just couldn't get on the board at all in the second half. Like, they just took 2 donuts and lost to the Seahawks, which is kind of surprising. So the Seahawks seem to be done with the Alex Collins era as well. And they welcomed in Adrian Peterson. They activated him from the practice squad today. And this is what I mean about, you know, them being kind of a lost, just sort of lost in the just a team that the game has left behind, right?
Yeah.
So Adrian Peterson, I don't know. Did you watch the game at all?
I didn't see much of this game.
So just knowing that Adrian Peterson was activated from the practice squad today, how many carries do you think he got?
Well, I've seen the box score.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I know that he led the team in carries.
Like, yeah.
Kind of ridiculous. After being activated today, yeah.
Street free agent, septuagenarian,
Adrian Peterson. You almost expect nothing less from the Seahawks. Like, if you told me it was the Seahawks, Adrian Peterson was activated today.
Yeah.
Well, of course, he led the team in carries.
Yeah. The only follow-up question I'd have is, like, does Pete Carroll think, like, Adrian Peterson is 27 or does he think he's 37, right? Like, that's, like, the only follow-up because, he looked bad. Like, I mean, I just looked bad, but, like, Travis Homer looked explosive. I mean, unfortunately, he's too small to really get – or maybe Pete just sees him as too small to really get a massive workload. They just seem to refuse to rearrange the offense to where they're going to be throwing a lot of passes.
I mean, Wilson attempted 37 passes in this one, and, you know, he wasn't great in terms of, like, efficiency, but, you know, Lockett and Metcalf each had 8 targets, which is not maybe what you hope, but it's not terrible. No. I think,
yeah, but it's not, I mean, it's really not what you want, man. Although Travis Homer seems to be, you know, he got 5 targets, so he might be worth actually adding in PPR.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I think Homer's definitely worth adding. I mean, you know, we see running backs sometimes get targets in this offense, and if Collins is not going to be a thing,
I don't think we're going to see him again this year.
Peterson's not going to be getting targets. Rashad Penny played a lot in this one, and he did have 1 target, and he looked good. Like, he took it for 27 yards. But
is he still healthy? Is he still healthy? After that?
He played the whole game, right? He made it through the game without getting injured.
Well, that's a first.
So maybe we're seeing the rise of Rashad Penny now. If he can get through one game, right, next he'll get through like 1 month, and then the sky's the limit.
Yeah. For a 4-8 team, that's pick. Yeah, 4-8 team that's eliminated from the playoffs, sky is the limit. And then I will say Dwayne Eskridge actually got on the board. He got 3 of his 3 targets with 35 yards and a score. He's well off the redraft radar, but, you know, this gives a little bit of a breather into his dynasty stock, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I didn't have much interest this year, and I don't think he's done anything in it as a rookie to convince me that I was wrong. So I'm probably going to be staying away next year too.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I know I wasn't in on Kadarius Toney. And then Kadarius Toney had 2 really awesome weeks, and then he's sort of been a nothing since then.
Yeah, he's getting the targets, right? I don't actually, I'd have to pull up what he did this week.
No, Toney's missed the last 2 weeks with injury.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been out with injury.
You're vibing. You can get away with not paying attention to the Giants.
Yeah, there's, I mean, free agent bust. Kenny Golladay has done nothing.
Right.
Daniel Jones does nothing. We don't see much from Saquon, unfortunately, either. Evan Ingram still, he's still around like a donut. I mean, it's just not a good team, man. Like, it's just, there's not much to say. I did want to get your takes on seeing Gardner Minshew back under center for the Eagles, because he breathed, you know, life back into Dallas Goedert, who, rocked us for like 30 points, 30 plus FFPC points.
Yeah, he also breathed new life back into Kenny Gainwell, who we left on our bench.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just played him over Zeke. I don't know what we're doing. But those Kenny Gainwell best ball shares, baby. What are we talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's definitely nice to see Minshew come in and play well and make guys we like play well. Like, Gainwell looked like he was probably going to be just a total bust playing with Jalen Hurts. So this kind of gives me some hope for Gainwell and hope for Goddard. So I think... Minshew is not like the long-term answer in Philadelphia, so I don't really know.
Minshew's not even the short-term answer in Philadelphia. Come on. Right. I mean, this is it. Like, this, it was the Jets. It was the Jets.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Minshew should get another start. We already saw the Jags commit fully to Minshew, and he face planted so badly, people were embarrassed and tried to distance themselves from their takes. And these same people are coming out of the woodwork to victory lap this now.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want to take their lumps last year, but they're coming back for this year.
For this
take
one game.
Take the L. Although, you know what? There might be precedent here to say Minshew probably might be better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trolling, but Zach Wilson has shown more than Trevor Lawrence has this year. And that's probably not even a hot take at this point, I think. I mean, it might be a hot take to some people who are still anchoring to draft capital and like collegiate stuff, but,
yeah, that's hard to say because it's not like Wilson has looked that good either
in
the games he's played. But I don't think it's certainly not a hot take to say that like Mac Jones might be the best quarterback in this class.
No, it's not at all. Wilson and Trevor Lawrence have very similar completion percentages, very similar depth of target. And
I'm just pull up the
and similar QBRs,
yeah.
Which not great. Although, just to if we are talking rookie quarterbacks, and just going back to what we discussed about Dalton and his four picks, they got to give it back to the starting job right back to Fields the second he's healthy, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think even if Dalton had played well, you still would expect Fields to get the start again. But, I mean, with Dalton looking even worse than he has in the past, I don't think there's a chance.
Well, I mean, they,
it's not like Fields has been good as a passer, but Fields at least can make things happen with his legs, right, which helps.
I don't know, man. Like, and that was the thing, is that like Fields looked really good against the Steelers like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like he single-handedly made us optimistic that A-Rob could have been back. He made Cole Kmet and he made a lot of big boy throws. Mm-hmm. Right? Like NFL like franchise caliber level, like this is what you want to see out of a player throws. And then the Bears kind of played the Ravens stuff with Dalton or whatever, right? Like after Fields got bopped early and had to leave.
Yeah.
And then Dalton played fine in relief or whatever. But like the Ravens were also starting Tyler Huntley that game, right? Like before Thanksgiving, if you remember. Then on Thanksgiving, they, squeaked out a victory against the Lions, right? Yeah, and Dalton played well. The second he faced like a real defense, like in the Cardinals, he just
Right. That's the other thing. I mean, the Ravens were also with a backup quarterback, and I don't think their defense is actually
They're not good. It's not good. No, and
the Lions,
I think
we know are not good. So yeah.
Yeah, and they struggled
to
beat them.
The matchups.
Right. Oh, well, here's some breaking news, and it's unfortunate. Logan Thomas likely tore his ACL and MCL in week 13. Ooh. He took a helmet to the knee in the fourth quarter. It seems to be the worst case scenario. This is per Adam Schefter. It seems to be the worst case scenario. Logan Thomas will undergo further testing. Man, that's a shame. That's a damn shame because he did really well today.
Yeah. I guess Seals Jones wasn't active, right? But I think he had practiced this week, so he'll probably be back next week. And I guess he'll be the guy going forward. That is a bummer for Thomas.
Yeah,
because he was looking good.
He looked good today. I don't think I care all that much about Ricky Seals Jones. I think if Everett's out there, you get Everett. I think. I mean, Seals Jones is fine in a pinch, but like you know, there's other guys, Komet, Everett, like all these guys are just sort of thing. You know, I am interested more in seeing you know more Terry F1 targets. It's kind of frustrating that he's only getting like a handful. But this is, you know, similar to at the top of the show when we were talking about Godwin and Evans. Like, just you got to be patient, keep rolling him out there because I think he's in for a like. Unfortunately, with Logan Thomas missing the rest of the season, I think he's in for a big game, man. Like, I mean, a really big down the stretch here.
Yeah, for sure. This was actually a really interesting game too because McKissick was out.
Yeah,
Garrett Patterson played, but I mean, Antonio Gibson basically was like.
Yeah,
the guy like he had six targets, which is I don't even know that could be a career high for him, but it's something that we've been hoping
close to it,
right? Something that we've been hoping he would add to his game. Before long, it only took an injury to J.D. McKissick, which is almost laughable that Gibson couldn't beat him out for targets. But
Riverboat Ron, man, he compared both of them to CMC, so
right.
So this is kind of the upside case that Corain and all were making for Gibson as a standalone pick early. So my question is, will you be in on Gibson again in his, at his second round ADP next year?
Probably not at his second round ADP. I think I'd be. I don't know. I wasn't drafting a lot of him this year. And part of it was because, it was mostly because McKissick was still there and still the guy that they wanted to give targets to. So the kind of makeup of the backfield going into next season, I think, will make a big difference unless we see Gibson really come on strong and start to, you know, continue to get a lot of targets down the stretch here. Then it might change what I'm thinking. Like if he looks like a guy who has like 10 receiving expected point upside on a week to week basis, then I think he can make sense even in the first round.
I'm with you. It doesn't matter who's under center though. Because as DeAndre Swift has shown us, explosive running backs are explosive running backs, man. You got to get your playmaker the ball and then let them do what they do.
In fact, you might almost prefer for Washington to have a bad quarterback and not be that good because then they're going to have to throw to the running backs more. So
for sure,
it almost helps his value to not have a good quarterback. That's kind of what we've seen with Swift, really what we've seen with Najee Harris. What we've seen with CMC for the last few years, really.
Yeah, I mean, CMC is also a bit of a black hole, right? Like, because when he, like it's just such a shame because a lot of the quarterbacks that like, get so fixated on treating him like the primary read, but he, like, catches these, like, short dump-off passes and almost kind of gets nowhere with it. Like, he gets, like, these, like, racks up, like, 10 to 12 PPR points just from catches alone, and he gets, like, 48 yards, like, barely, right? Like, it's just really frustrating in that regard. It's been very, very obvious when you see him on and off the field, which is unfortunate for him because he has been getting hurt a lot.
Yeah.
The other guy I was going to say, the explosive running back with a bad quarterback, Cordarrelle Patterson. Please get in the ball more in the receiving game, for the love of God.
Right? I mean, who else are you going to throw to?
They're throwing to Russell Gage.
I know. Sorry. At this point, I guess.
They're back to throwing to Russell Gage.
It's weird to
man.
Say, but I do think you'd rather have Patterson be getting targets than Russell Gage.
Yeah, let him roll up the yak, man.
Yeah.
Let him roll it up. There's a reason why they were able to beat teams in the early going when they were feeding Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, and I mean, outside of that, I think that about would do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report, right?
I think you're right. Yeah. Welcome back. Thanks. Yeah, be sure to what do you have to do again? Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe and like our YouTube channel, Spotify too, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Come join us next week if you're someone who's listening and want to, you know, would rather join in live instead of watching whatever happens to be on TV around this time. I don't even know. I don't think there's anything on, right?
We are going to be having a guest on next week, Michael Hitchcock.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah. And I do promise that, you know, there's typically nothing going on Sunday nights, you know, at 9 p.m. So I do encourage everyone to come out.
Yeah. Nothing football fans would want to be watching.
Yeah, I mean, look. You guys can either come over here, banter with us, or you could be watching Los Angeles at Arizona. I don't know about you guys. The Rams.
I think I'd
rather. Stafford is a broken man. and Murray has a broken ankle.
All right. On that note, we will say goodbye. So, thank you for tuning in.